We're in week two of our 14 weeks of our Fortnite series, and we're looking at the epic battles in Scripture. And tonight's battle just reminds me of, it's kind of like what we see in that video right there with Einstein, who sees like bar none, this dude is one of the smartest men who have ever lived. And so he's looking at science and creation and the universe and being able to see all those things, the fingerprints of God on everything. He still comes to the end and has such a hard time actually having faith in a creator. And so the passage that we're studying tonight, we're seeing God come in, and in this epic battle, the battle isn't just over land or territory or wealth or people. This battle that God is fighting for the people of Israel in our passage tonight is a battle over faith. And we're going to see a people, a group of people, and a Pharaoh who are able to see incredible things right in front of their eyes, miracles. Like things that you and I would just like sit back with our jaws wide open and not even be able to believe our own eyes to see. And yet, experiencing all that, seeing all that, they still weren't able to believe this Creator God who showed up in full force. And so this battle, this epic battle that we're going to see tonight is a battle for faith. Keep that in mind as we study this passage tonight. And I want to ask you to open up to Exodus chapter 14 tonight. And I'm going to catch you up because this is a long battle. It starts in actually chapter 4 and keeps going through 14. So it's this, we get to start right away at the beginning when Moses is born. Because that's really where God steps into the scene and starts fighting this battle. You got this little baby Moses born in Egypt, and you guys probably know this story, right? Most of you have studied this since you were little kids. And so Moses is born during a time of slavery in Egypt where the Jews are there and they're held as slaves, and Pharaoh makes this decree. He's like, I want all the firstborn sons to be thrown into the Nile River and eaten by the crocodiles and drowned. And his mom looks down at him and loves him so much. She's like, no, I can't do that. And she puts him in this basket and puts him in the river and sends him down river. And praise God, no alligator or crocodiles ate him on the way down. He ends up getting found by the daughter of Pharaoh. And she raises him as her own son. And he grows up in the palace as royalty in Egypt. That's a little twist in the story, right? That's unexpected. And so as he grows up with this influence in Egypt, it comes to the point where he has been hearing that the slaves might be his people. And he doesn't believe it. And then he comes to a point where he sees them being mistreated and he kills an Egyptian guard over it. And so he flees. He's afraid for his life. He takes off into the desert and he becomes a shepherd. And he goes from being a prince of Egypt to being a shepherd. And as he's out just taking his sheep out to graze, you guys know the story we studied a few months ago? God shows up in a bush, this burning bush, showing the glory and the power of God. And Moses is like, what? And so God talks to him and he's like, hey, Moses, I'm calling you. Me? I'm out here hiding for a reason, God. I'm out in the middle of the desert for a reason. And God's like, I'm sending you back to Egypt. I'm not going back to Egypt. I ran from there. They want to kill me. I'm scared for my life. He says, no, you're going to go back and you're going to look Pharaoh in the face and you're going to tell him to let my people, the Israelites, go. Oh yeah, that's going to go over real good, God. So he's kind of like wrestling with God on this. And finally, we'll skip ahead quickly so we can get to the battle, but God convinces him. He goes back to Egypt. And even in that, he's scared. He's like, God, but I stutter, like I can't speak very well. So he sends someone with him, Aaron with him, to go and talk for him. And they go in front of Pharaoh, and God says, I'm going to give you some miraculous gifts you can do to prove that you're my man. So you're going to take your staff, and when you're with Pharaoh, you're going to throw it in the ground and turn it into a snake. And Pharaoh's got these dudes over here who are like magicians. They're like, yeah, we can do that too. And so they're able to like use trickery and fake magic and like, ooh, look, we turned ours into a snake too. Good trick. He's like, well, and he has these, so he does these miracles, and each one gets done by these magicians, and Pharaoh's like, my guys can do it too. So God says, all right, now for the big guns. But Moses, listen, I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh and his people. So all these things I'm giving you, all this power that I'm going to display over them, know that they're still going to have hardened hearts and they're not going to listen. Know that, Moses. Don't be discouraged. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And so Moses is in the middle of this battle that's not even like being fought with spears and swords yet. It's just this kind of battle between God and the false gods of Egypt and the Pharaoh. And so you got to know something about Pharaoh. The people believed Pharaoh was a god himself. That when you became Pharaoh, you became deity. And they had a plethora of gods that they worshipped also on top of that. So this was a group of people that already had all their gods laid out. And for them, there was no room for the Jewish God. And here comes Moses, and his message is there is one God. All the rest are false, including you, Pharaoh. There is one true God, and he sent me here to tell you something, and you need to listen, because it's not going to be good for you if you don't listen. Some big stuff's going to happen, and you're not going to like it. He says, God wants you to let his people go. My slaves who are building the pyramids that we get to go see today, right? The pyramids and all these beautiful things in Egypt, the Jewish slaves were the ones building for Pharaoh. He's like, I'm not letting them go. They're the source of my wealth. It's on the backs of these people that I'm becoming so great. And so he's like, I'm not letting them go. You go tell your God, no, that's not going to happen. And so they go into this back and forth, and God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send 10 plagues. And when I send these things, they're going to be powerful, they're going to be huge, and it's going to rock Egypt. And so there were pretty big things that affected everybody in Egypt. And as he sends them one by one, they're feeling it. Each time a little more. He sends Moses into the Nile River, which is like their source of life. And he says, I want you to turn the river to blood. And he goes in there and poof, this river turns to blood. And the people they have nowhere to drink. They're scooping water out. It's bloody water in the river. I can't even imagine the way it went down. But it says it affected everybody. They're looking for places to find water. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh looks back and goes, you know what? My guys could do that too. I don't believe even that. God says, all right, I got another one for you. And now he starts to send others. And he says, this is going to keep happening until you let my people go. And so he sends all these pestilence, right? He sends gnats and frogs and bugs and hail and boils on the people and all these different plagues that come along until finally he says, here's what's going to happen. You know how you sent Moses and all those other little firstborn babies of Israel to die in the Nile River? I'm going to send my angel, and he's going to take out the firstborn son of all of the Egyptians. And he commands Israel, he says, take the blood of this lamb, put it over your doorway, so that as the angel passes, he won't come to your house. And sure enough, the angel comes, and the firstborns all die. And Pharaoh's like, get them out of here. I give up. Moses, take the Israelites and I want them gone. And so he goes and he gets them and they leave and they even give them like their jewelry and stuff just to get out of there. Take whatever we have, just go. They were so rocked by these plagues and the power of God and this battle that wasn't even being fought with like swords yet. It was just the power of God heaping down on them. He says, get out of here. So he gets them and they all leave, and as they take off, Pharaoh goes to his people and he starts to think. He's like, what did we just do? Why did we just let them go? They just killed our firstborn. And he rallies up his entire army. Now listen, Egypt was the greatest military force on the face of the planet at the time. So when this force gets rallied to fight, it's insane. I mean, he says, everybody in the kitchen sink, let's all go. We're all going after the Israelites. We're going to track them down, and we're going to slaughter them wherever they're at. He gets his army together, and they take off after the Israelites. And that's where this passage picks up tonight, where the battle culminates into this final scene that we're going to look at in Exodus 14. We're going to start in verse 10. They just catch up to the Israelites, and this is what happens. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly, it says. Well, imagine if the greatest army of all time, or of that time, were swarming in on you. This little group of slaves, they're dragging maybe donkeys and carts and just dragging their kids, and they're exhausted, and they've been walking and walking and marching. And then they hear, you know, the rumble of the horses and the clanging of armor, and they look back and this massive army is right on their heels. Would you not fear yourself to stand there and know that they were coming to kill you and your family? Man, why didn't they just trust God? Well, put yourself in their shoes or sandals for a minute, right? As you're thinking through that, you might have things in your life right now that you're fearing the same way. What are the things in your life that bring you fear? Are there big, big size problems that are coming after you that cause you to be kind of like paralyzed where you're at and just to think that that's coming for you? Situations in your family that you feel hopeless, you can't fix. Maybe friends or maybe it's people around school that treat you a certain way. And every time you go and you walk through those hallways and you think, man, I don't know if I can get up and go to school today. I just don't want to see those people. And that fear of the situation kind of paralyzes you to look and be like, that problem's too big. I don't know how I'll face that health issue with somebody I love or this messed up relationship with a friend or all these different things. How will I face that problem today? And that's where they're at, kind of. They're looking up going, this isn't something we can face. And they're humbled before God. It makes me think for a second because they just watched God heap down these crazy plagues over Egypt. Flexing his muscles, showing his power to get them freed. And yet, in the next minute, almost, there they are looking back going, oh no, we're going to die. Like, did you not just see what God did? Did you not just see his power? But you know what? You and I can be so similar. God could show off in 1 minute in our lives and we're like, go God! You know, you go to camp and you come back all pumped for Jesus and then you go into school like that week and you're already going, man, I don't know how I can do this. God, how am I going to face this? And you're already doubting the power of your God. I'm in that boat. I don't know if you've ever done that or felt that way. But that's where they're at. And so he says this. Look at what happens next. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Like they're kind of ticked off and they're kind of like, what are we going to do? They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Moses, why did you do this? What were you thinking? We told you they'd come after us. We told you they'd come slaughter us all. Wouldn't you just leave us alone there? We'd rather be slaves than have to face this. Man, the scary part about that is that I can see that so often in my own heart. God, why did you bring me to this? It's too scary. It's too big. I don't know if I can answer that call. God, why'd you bring me here? You should have just left me over here in my sin. You should have just left me broken, dealing with it myself over here. And you bring me to this huge thing that I have to face now? You ever been there? God's called you and he said, listen, I want you to obey me. And you've looked up at God and you said, but that's just too big. I'd rather just sit here in my sin than give that up. I'd rather keep doing these things and going to these places and enjoying my life the way it is than follow you, because following you is hard, God. It's difficult, and I have to give things up, and I don't know if I can handle that call. I'd rather just be paralyzed in my sin and stay there. I've been there. I'm there a lot. But by the grace of God, he comes in and says, Rob, this doesn't depend on you. And you're going to see that in a second. Look what it says next. And Moses said to the people, here's his response, fear not. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Get up on your feet.